have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I feel like Bruce Banner. Can nobody stop me. My plug got the answer. I know my guy got me. I'm unstoppable.
You can't stop what is meant to prosper. Nah. Got them hits like an LA Dodger. Yeah. God chose me, put me on the roster. Yeah. Chasing goals, I won Grammys and Oscars. Took some losses, but I'm still a winner. Been forgiven, but I'm still a sinner. Wanna see me fail, that won't happen though. I'm the front page in the centerfold. I can't be stopped, I got the power. My enemies looking real sour. Trying to hold me back like rush hour. All obstacles, I straight devour. No one's gonna stop me, I promise I don't play. You don't wanna with me, I'm coming no delay. Hear a lot of talking no matter what he say. Turning up the hustle, I'm bringing a heat wave.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
I got the Holy Ghost, I do not need to boast. Nah. Strength within, release through the pen. Write about my sin, cause it inspires men. Humble with the time to let him put me on high. The power that is in me can't be seen like Wi-Fi. Overcome the look of fear and tell it bye-bye. Undefeated through the Lord, no I won't lie. Oh my, oh my, you don't wanna waste time. It'll fly by, fly by. Came into the game, it was all in vain. Switched up a frame, now I'm in my own lane. Gotta see the vision, get a plan, make it clear. Pregnant since the hustle, on I will appear. Never quit, stay the course, trust faith. Even when you think the dream is coming late. I've already had a lot of reasons I can throw in the towel. But the spirit living in me doesn't ever let me know how. Tired of all the rappers claiming what they really not like, wow. I see a lot of foolery, not fooling me, I gotta call a foul. Can't be stopped, will not quit. I got goals, I'm gon' hit. Go so hard, I'm so lit. Mind on him, homie, that's it.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
Wrote this verse on the resurrection. Stepped on in, healed my infection. Since that day I've had your protection. No question about it, my best selection. Got the picture like panorama. All glory up to Hosanna. My fire lit, started going hammer. That's why I feel like Bruce Banner.
He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me. He say, she say, you can't stop me.
Yes, it's man of faith. Insomniac. We about to bring it back. Cause I'ma bring it back. Okay. Yeah. Taking it back to the days of the feel good. Yeah. Real hip hop was the soundtrack to my childhood. Okay. Going up without a care in the world. Uh-huh. Until the only thing I cared about the state of the world.
State of the world.
You are the Zane on my level. I choose purpose over fame. I don't play with no devil.
That's right.
Into it though, but truly I was born a rebel. Destroying everything in sight is Tasmanian
devil.
So you can get mad if you want to. Block my shine, that's what you won't know. The sound here, man, there ain't nothing hotter.
Nothing
I refuse
hotter
to let it die this time, so I feel I gotta bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Slide to the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my
steps.
Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in the trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance. I'm still moving, still grooving, still got flow. Y'all thought I fell off, still hot though.
Right.
I've been winning, put my faith in Christ. And he never let me down since he paid that price. Got love for my friends and my enemies. Spread around like butter, that's a remedy. Got enough for the hood and back. Plugged into the store so I never lack.
That's right.
So you can get mad if you want to. Block my shine, that's what you won't do. The sound here, man, that ain't nothing hotter.
That's right.
I refuse to let it die this time, so I feel I gotta
bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Slide to the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my step. Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in the trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance.
Come on,
okay,
yeah.
I'ma need everybody to report
Let's
to
go.
The dance
everybody
floor.
Everybody to the dance floor right
Y'all
now.
Y'all got 5 more seconds.
5 more seconds.
Let's go. To the right, move to the left. Give me space, watch me do my step. Hands up, put them up in the sky. I'ma show you how to do it, go on, raise them high. Watch me do my dance. Just watch me do my dance. I see you looking, got them all in the trance. All eyes on me, they say they love my stance.
Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back.
Good evening, everybody. Bring it back. This is Cedric again on Elation Radio, Relentless Pursuit. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Today's February 11th, good old 2022. Man, I asked the question last week. With this being Black History Month, I have been having some discussions with people, and I've been reading news, you know, just been reading and whatnot. And last week my question was racism woven into the fabric of America? And, you know, I'm not saying America is racist. I'm just saying some of the policies, the way they were written, how else could they be written in that day and time, right? Well, this week I had an even tougher question, and I'm gonna do my best. We're gonna do our best. Just kind of talk about it a little bit. Maybe open up some eyes. Maybe close some. Maybe make some people mad and have a little attitude with us. But this week I asked myself. I said, "Well, I'm a man of God. I'm actually an ordained minister, and I've been in church leadership for 20 plus, actually, I think around 1996, 1997, something like that. And my question was, I saw this movie a long time ago. It was called Segregated Sunday. And I asked, why is Sunday considered to be the most segregated day of the week? So inherently, I came to the conclusion, and I asked this question. Is the religion that we practice in America, right, does it have an element of racism, or has racism infiltrated our religion? With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Jason. Jason, are you on with me right now?
Yes, sir, I am. I am. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How was your day, brother?
Man, great day. Great, great day today. So no complaints.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good news. I'm glad you had a good day. Well, picking back up where we were last week, with another question I have is, and I basically say is racism baked into our religion? And again, at the end of the. I give my answer at the end of our call, but you're going to hear it throughout. I guess for me, I started thinking about, I went back to, again, when America itself was first formed, right? I mean, you can go back beyond that. going to the 14th century, 15th century, and you'll see what the Spaniards and the French and Italians, you'll see what everybody was doing, because what people don't realize when you don't go back and study is you find that there was reason to have slavery even back then. But I want to deal with America, and I went back and I just kind of looked. I remember one time I was telling you, or I was saying, I read it somewhere when I was younger, that there was slavery in America. And in America, the slaveholders or owners of the plantations, they actually had when the slaves were finally allowed to read, some slaves, not all were, but they basically had an alternative Bible. Their Bible, the Bible that they gave the slaves, inherently it was racist. Basically, what they did was, they based it on, I'm trying to think, they based it on what they said was the curse of Ham or Ham. I say Ham. And what that led to, taken from that story or from those stories, they created what they called a slave Bible, right? And basically, it was a version of the Bible that basically led them, and it showed a bunch of references to slavery. And basically what it did was it took out all of the references to freedom and liberty, right? So when the slaves did their Bible, they never, again, even in the church with the slaves, they were not allowed to think about, or they were not presented with even the freedoms that were outlined in the Bible. They took it out. And so, and this is in the church. This is in the church. And so, and even back then, you found, as you go through the years, you would find that there was clergy, especially Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptist Church, believe it or not, it was founded on these principles. And, I mean, can you imagine the clergy itself supporting slavery, saying it's okay, using the Bible itself as a pretext for having slavery? So that's reading texts like this, Jason, kind of led me to believe, hey, you know what? Man, there's a hint of racism. There's some other things that are going on in our country right now. We all know, without getting too deep into politics, but hey, that's where we at. And we have people who are all about white supremacists, Nazis, neo-Nazis, whatever you want to call them, right, who claim to be Christians. And they say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian, but you hate this person, or you want this person to be underfoot because they're this race or this color. And I don't want to just say racism when it just comes to only to what we deem in America as blacks or African Americans. No, no, no. What about what about people of Latin descent? You know, and so my question was just that, you know, is racism. Do you think, Jason, that racism is kind of, you know, when we think about our religion, does racism have a place there, or have we allowed it to have a place there?
When we start looking at this, you know, of course, you know, being a follower of Christ, in my heart, I wanted to say, no, that's not even close, you know, because we all know the story of Christ and when he walked the earth. And I always subscribe to Christ as a model of how we're supposed to operate as human beings. He never saw race. He never saw, you know, your country or origin. All he saw was you are a beautiful creation that God made, and I want to give you the opportunity to get on the right path. So in my heart, I wanted to believe, like, there is no way that this institution built from that man can have any type of racist, you know, thoughts or ideas or ideology. But I was sorely, sorely depressed when I started researching this. And we read the stories about the church and during the time of the civil rights movement or before the civil rights movement, You know, we've always seen how people try to use the Bible to justify slavery, you know, so that wasn't anything mm-hmm. new to me, you know, and I always charged that off to, well, those aren't real Christians anyway, right? That's just man misinterpreting yeah. God's word. But as I do more deeper studies and look at the history of the church, and especially the Christian church, and how it became to race and race relations, it was really sad to see that, yes, it is part of the makeup. And then what made it even sadder, to look at the church today, right? You know, we're on the other mm-hmm. side of the civil rights movement. We're on the other side of all these cultural things that has made these cultural changes that has supposed to create equality and get rid of those racist thoughts. And here we are on the other yeah. side of it. And the church, you know, although it may be better, it's not where near close to where Christ is and how he walks. So just in answering that question, I do believe that, you know, some of those racist ideologies and beliefs, they have infiltrated the church. And it is a very, very sad thing to say.
And truly it is, because when I think about it, again, being somewhat a student of history, when you start to, when you start to place, quote unquote, divine authority upon certain types of people just because, right? You say, well, I can, the Bible says that we can have slaves, and you say, well, I'm going to teach these people basically how to be slaves. I want to talk about some of the effect as well, because I mean, there's just so many of the clergy that you know, I've heard of names like Reverend Cotton Mather and Reverend Jonathan Edwards and Robert Louis Dabney. You know, they espouse these things. These were clergy, and they espouse these things and say that, you know what, you are a slave, and it's okay that you be a slave, but you shouldn't just be any slave. You should be a good slave. You should be good to your masters. You should serve them. You should love your masters. Because they say right here in the Bible, that's what they say. They say it's right here in the Bible. You should love your masters. And then in the Bible does say that we should love our enemies. But my issue is this. At what point do we as Christians, no matter what our race is, at what point do we say enough is enough? And the Bible simply says that now we all read the same Bible. I believe that there's no excuse for it today. We all read the same Bible. At what point do we say we're all equal? We're all equal. At what point do we get to that? And as I think about the things that are happening today, how we build these different hierarchies, and how is it, Jason? How do you think, Jason, that, and again, I don't really want to go to politics, but I'm going to go there on this question. The voting rights bill, right? The voting rights bill was set aside. It was put out there to make the privilege of voting more fair for all people, right? Since we're all created equal, right? It's supposed to be one person, one vote, right? But of course, we know that ain't true. But anyway, we're not going to break down the Electoral College today, but we're going to talk about voting. It's supposed to be a fundamental privilege amongst us in America. And here it is. They want to change it. And the gripe is, well, it's unfair to people. People don't think like that anymore. They're not racist like that anymore. And the very thing that they do, as soon as they start to overturn parts of the bill, the most important parts, and one of them is, if you were in a southern state and your state was inherently racist, Jim Crow basically, then in order for you to change your voting, what's the word I'm looking for, Jason? I'm just going to use the word
district line district. Yeah.
Your district.
The districting, yeah. Or any type of like voting laws. Yeah.
Right. You have to have permission, right? And so they struck that down and they changed that right away. So and the point I want to make is, and now I'm not saying it's 100% true, but some of the biggest voices you hear, the biggest supporters, are the ones who claim to be what? Christian. They claim to be Christians, but I want to change this, not because it's racist, but because it allows me to be in power, right? That's what they will tell you, right? But we both and we all understand that there's an element of racism in that, because they say, well, we're not going to cater to these people. Let's lump all these people into certain counties or districts where their vote is watered down, meaning there's a lot more people here, but over here in this other county, these are the people who are for me, but there's a lot fewer people. We're going to make their vote count equal to all the others. And so usually when that happens here in America, it's because of the racial makeup of the county. It's not, it's the demographic. It's not whether or not they're Republican or Democrat. Now, I know they probably wish they could break it up like that, but it's usually a race element. And and so I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with us as Christians, because the problem I have friends who are of all different races, nationalities, but I will be honest, I'm a bit more upset with my black friends than I am everybody else when it comes to stuff like this, who say to me, Cedric, you just overreacted. That's not true. Or they say to me, the church is not racist. The church can't be racist, right? Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that, you know. And, you know, honestly, I can't really fault them, because in my head, I didn't think it was possible either. You know,
so you didn't think it was possible that the church was racist, that the church could be racist?
I believe the individuals could have different ideologies and beliefs, but I never thought the system and the structure was part of that. And
really?
I was sorely, I was, like I said, I was very disappointed when I came face to face with the truth.
Do you know, like a lot of the clergy, a lot of the men, a lot of the leadership that we're in, like, again, I mentioned the Southern Baptist Church, the starting it up, that denomination. Did you know that a lot of the original members were in the KKK? A lot of the clergy, they were in the KKK? The reason I ask that question is this. I myself fall on the side that says I'm not going to be naive. I'm not going to close my eyes. I'm not saying everybody's like that today. I'm saying where it started. If the individual, because we love to say, especially at our church, at Kingdom Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, we love to say, look, the church is who? The individual. You are the church. The building is but a physical structure, but the church is you. You are a lot of times the only representation of Christ that a lot of people will see. If somebody who doesn't know God, they meet you, and look, you are the representation for God. Now, if you are a what? A biased individual, you will be a biased individual. You'll be a biased representative of God. In other words, if you're a racist, whether you're inside the church or you're not, if you claim to be a Christian, then there's an element of racism in Christianity.
Yeah.
And the more
I reflect on it, the more I reflect on it, the more right you are, because the church is the people. And unfortunately, you know, before doing this, I'm going to be honest with you, I had that notion that, okay, well, there are some people in the church who have racist ideology and they use the Bible, but that's just the individual. The collective group would come together and bring light to those people, to enlighten those people, to say, hey, this is how we live out our life in the model of Christ. But the more I think about it and the more I reflect about it, you know, that segregated Sunday, is there's something to it. I'm not going to really fellowship and worship with someone who has different ideologies than me. So that desire or that possibility of the group expanding their thoughts, because now they're everybody's kind of walking in with different ideas about who Christ is, and they come together and they create this big picture of who Christ is, and letting go of some of these history things and stuff like that, it doesn't happen, you know, because right. the more I think about it, the more people fellowship with folks just like them, right? You think this about the same people? Yeah, you know, they're ungodly people. Yeah, so do I. Let's fellowship together. Right, they're not going to fellowship with that person who may have a different thought about that person, and views the Bible differently. In fact, they'll probably say, "Well, they don't really know the Bible. They're not real Christians." So we're going to fellowship together, and we'll pray for them. And so you're right. The institution itself, is just fraught with that, with those ideologies and beliefs, and because the people are full of them. And that's the part that I think scares me more than anything else, is that those people are full of these thoughts, but because they don't allow themselves to expand and see something, it doesn't change.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny part is, and I get it, America, I've only been talking about the white supremacist side of this. Let's jump on the other side. I know people who are not white, who are black, like me and you, who identify as African Americans, who identify as black Americans, right? And he's just as racist. That old white devil. Have you ever heard that? My issue is that's more prejudice, because we understand the backdrop on racism, but still, their prejudice against their white brothers and sisters or anybody who's not black. And that bothers me too. And the point I want to make is this right here. Any little element of racism, of discrimination, of prejudice in the church, it bleeds over into every culture. All of a sudden, Hispanics don't like blacks. Blacks don't like Hispanics. Blacks don't like whites. Whites don't like blacks. Whites don't like Hispanics. Oh, and God forbid, we are Christians. And this is the thing that gets me. If somebody walks through the door, let's say they're Buddhist, or they're Muslim, or they're Hindu. We got another problem. But I was really talking about racism, not just discrimination, but still, as a black man in America, when I read names Nat Turner, you know, when I hear Sojourner Truth, when I hear Fred Douglas, you know, I hear people who were completely against this whole notion of racism, who still may have believed in God. You know, I mean, there's just so many people out here where they fought. And there were abolitionists. And the beautiful thing and the wonderful thing about our country is there are some people who said they were Christians and they lived that way. And so the abolitionists, and especially the white abolitionists, because they put their lives on the line just like the blacks who were fighting for freedom. Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad, and all those things. These white abolitionists, they did the same thing. So these are people who lived, in my opinion, who lived like true Christians. When you go back to Nazi Germany, there was a family there once that I read about, and they owned some sort of factory, I think. But they saved thousands of Jews. They saved thousands of their lives. They said they were Christians, yet they were under Nazi Germany rule. But they said, you know what, these people, we're not going to set these people up to die. And I think that's the big thing about Christianity I like. I love those stories about Christianity, even though I still feel that there are some parts in this country that racism does exist. And the question is, what can we do to combat that? Just, I mean, again, this is Black History Month. I think every day is Black History Day, so not a big deal to me. We don't have to wait till February to start studying and reading about Black history and start gaining this knowledge. But I'm glad that there's a month out of the year that everybody should be focused on it, not just a handful of people. So what do you think we can do to start kind of one person? How many lives can you change? What would you need to do to change a life if you met somebody who espouses these racist ideologies or who represents the Christianity that we for so long have kind of turned a blind eye to?
I think it's you know, like I said, as we look at this, what you really see is the infiltration of culture in the body. And I think when we come together as one body under one head, we need to leave all that cultural stuff out the way, right? We need to leave all that cultural stuff out the way and really focus on who Jesus was and how Jesus operated, right? And when mm-hmm. we talk about, like, you know, what are we supposed to do as Christians? Well, we're supposed to love everybody, you know? I mean, you got to think about it. The people who put Christ on the cross are the same people that he loved and he served. You know, he washed Judas' feet knowing that Judas was going to betray him, right? So, yeah. You know, when you talk about what we should do what we're called to do. And that, and the first and foremost, that's just to love and making sure that we show that love in everything that we give. And there is nobody out there who is not who should not have that love that Christ has given us. And if we're really truly believers, we know that the one of the cornerstones of this Christian faith is love, and we have to operate in love with everybody that we meet, right? And everything that we meet, you know, if we're truthful with the scripture, and we see one sin is not better than the other, we humble ourselves, and that person who I think is lazy or you know, whatever thought I have about it, whatever prejudice, bigoted thought I have, I've got to look at myself and say, you know what, I'm no better, right? In Christ's eyes, I'm no better, right? So if we're really talking about trying to reform the church and get us back to that first century, that's where it has to start. It has to start. It has to start in the hearts and the minds of us as Christians. Now, I will tell you, with this last administration, prior to the current one, I've had the opportunity to have more talk with my white Christian brothers about race, and it never goes well. I'm just gonna be honest; never goes well.
How does it normally go? How do you even get into it? How do you even strike up that conversation?
So the funny thing is, they normally come to me, and you can tell they have this. They feel like they're doing a great thing. They feel like they're being loving and caring. And they come to me and they say the same thing. Man, I didn't know that it was so hard being black in America. And they say it with this sense of, look at me. I'm opening up and expanding my perspective and seeing your thing. I'm trying to reach out and empathize with you in the plight that you have. Right, and they've come to me with that situation, and once again, it doesn't end well for them, right? Because my response is always the same; it's always gonna be the same. Don't tell me you didn't know. Tell me why you ignored, right? Because we've all seen every one of those pictures where a cop shoots a black man. You know, Rodney King just getting his butt kicked by five officers while he's in handcuffs. We've all seen these. We've seen these pictures and images, and some of us, it resonates in us. I'm like, man, that ain't right. That couldn't be done. But then some of us justify it and say, well, he shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done that. So, you know, what I always ask them is, tell me why you ignored. And I bring that to them. I'm like, what were you thinking when you saw that? Because that's the mindset. Yeah. That is not aligned with Christ. That's the mindset that allows the body of Christ, right, just like the culture. And that's the mindset that I have them address. And once again, it's easy to put the racism outside of you. But when you have to look at your own thoughts and your own how you handle your perspective, like I said, it never turns out well for them. But I'm not going to stop doing it because that's where it has to start.
I agree. I think to play the ignorance card is, I think with some people, maybe it's true, but I just think that, like there are certain situations I believe people laugh at us. They're laughing in our face when they say, well, I'm so sorry. And they ain't really sorry. They don't really mean it. They're just saying it just because, and they play the ignorance card. And I think that a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, they show their true colors when they get with their quote-unquote their own kind. When they get with like-minded people, they show their true colors. And I'll tell you another thing that bothers me, and when I have friends, when I have friends that are black and they go to, let's say, a large church that's predominantly white, and they take up these ideologies, I would call it like that, and you sit and you talk to them, and they will tell you to your face, there's no racism in our church. Everybody's the same. We're all equal. And this is my big concern with the church. And then that one day they come to me and they say, man, so-and-so said this to me. I can't believe how racist they are. And in the back of my mind, I always want to tell them, wait a minute, you just told me that your church was just perfect, that nobody is racist. And again, I've had those encounters at my own churches where it's predominantly black congregations, but I ask you the question, what can you do? And I know you try to talk to people, but when I have this discussion with people, I'm telling you, for me, I think it goes well. They can accept what I have to say. It goes well because I understand that there are people who are going to be a little more passionate about what we're talking about and some who are not, but I just try to be straight up and be honest with them. And the honest thing for me is to go back into history and show them black and white, show them on paper. And then because people today, it's so crazy that there are people who are fatigued by the news they get. A white cop kills a black man. Police kill a black man. They just get so burnt out, right? Like they got to run a marathon when they hear it. But I understand. I understand. You ain't run no marathon, but mentally it's challenging for you. And then people say, well, what about that cop? Well, sometimes the cop ain't white. Sometimes the cop is black. Sometimes it's a Latino, right? It's the system that's racist. And see, as I was talking about, the reason I asked that question about the church is because the system, we took something that was perfect, something that was good, something that was pure, and we put in racist people, racist ideology, and we have what we have today. How can we change it? How can we fix it? One person at a time. One person at a time. And I think the one phrase you always say to me, it just irritates me when you say race is a social construct. Now, you always say that, but it's true. It's the truth. And that's how we change it. We get rid of all this stuff. We have to. Some way, somehow, it has to change. It has to change. Because, again, as I was reading about all this stuff, I was just like, wow. Just how we got here in America is just horrible to me, and so now that we know it exists, we still revel in it. It's like we don't want it to go anywhere, and there are a certain group of people. Let me ask you this, Jason: if you were walking down the street and two young kids were fighting, and then three more young kids showed up, and they all joined sides with one, so it's 4-on-1. What would you do in that scenario? You got four kids beating up on one kid. What would you do in that scenario? Would you run?
My heart would not allow me that one kid to. Yeah, no, my heart would not allow me to watch that one kid or ignore that one kid being beaten like that. I would have to step in, you know. And if that means that maybe I take a couple of blows, that's a couple less blows they have to take. But no, I can't. I just can't. I wouldn't be able to sit there and watch that, right? I wouldn't be able to sit there and watch injustice, unrighteousness just persist.
So when you talk to your white brothers and sisters and y'all talk about race, I mean, do you appeal to them in that same way? I mean, do you talk to them the same way?
Yeah, because I see in them. Now, I'm not gonna lie, you know. That initial part when they said that claim of ignorance, it does rub me the wrong way. And maybe, my heart is not in a place of, you know, it's not in a real place of, like, I'm trying to help. But eventually, you know, I think about the body, and we need to be strong in everything that we do. And if I have a brother and sister, you know,
allowing themselves to carry certain ideologies and beliefs that don't align with, you know, the Christ that we serve. I feel like that is my place to try to, you know, at least, you know, bring a different perspective to them. Now, what they do with it, and we always talk about this, my job is to make the introduction. My job is to give the information. You know, what you choose to do with it, that's on you. You know, but I'm just supposed to give it to you and keep it moving.
Yeah, because one of the things I read about, about religion, I don't know if you've ever heard of where they talked about, they had these religious hierarchies, right? And they had a religion that was called a primitive religion, right? And that was where they worshiped. They were all into idolatry and natural stuff, right?
Right.
And then they came up with a ethical religion, right? And the ethical religion was one where they emphasized rationality and you know, a moral right and a wrong versus material things, right? And my question is, when you think of religion, I mean, isn't the moral, like the Bible talks more about morality than anything, rather as opposed to race. The Bible talks about having a really high moral standard. Am I wrong in this? Am I thinking about this the wrong way? Because I'm saying that if we're Christians, then we ought to be able to look past color. As a matter of fact, as a Christian, we ought to be able to look past even religion. Most people don't believe that, but I believe it. I believe that you don't unless you know God did what He did in the Bible, but you didn't see David hating people just because they weren't like him, right? And I just struggle with that. And so when I ask, is there racism in the church? I come to the same conclusion. There is. And it's not the church that's racist. It's the people in the church. Therefore, it is the church, right? It's the system that we put together. We put together this system. We worship. Think about this. I'm going to say, why is the church so segregated on Sunday? We even worship differently. Think about it. We even worship differently. I'm going to tell you something. People are going to beat me up when they see me, I'm sure. But I've gone to Catholic churches, right? I've gone to the AME churches. I've gone to the Baptist churches, Southern Baptist. I've gone to the Covenant churches, right? And then I've gone to the Christian churches. But I'll tell you, one of the churches that I actually enjoyed the service, not the doctrine, but the service, I went, for the first time in my life, I went to a church, the Jehovah's Witness church, right? I'm sorry, my brain doesn't work like it used to, and I don't have it written down, so I forget the name. But I went to the church where the Jehovah's Witness, they come to my house like every Saturday for like a year. I finally told them I'll come visit your church. I visited the church. And man, I ain't going to tell you no story. I like the layout. I like what they did. It was real simple. You come in, everybody sings together. They do their little meet and greet. You sing. And then they have the announcements. Then they have a speaker come out. He preaches the word. Then you close it with a couple of songs. And then at the very, he closes the sermon. And then the speaker comes back up. And then you go over some scripture. Everybody talks about it. And then you sing a couple of songs. And you out of there. I'm serious. And you out of there. And the way their sanctuaries are set up, the people sit around the sanctuary. I mean, like, they sit around where the pastor is. So you got four walls. One wall is where the podium is. And he actually walks out to the middle of the floor. And then all of the way the seats were arranged in this particular house, were like a U-shape almost around that small podium where he was speaking from. And that was it. You were in and out. You had like about six or eight exit points in this little small space, but you could get in and get out. And I liked the way it was, but the thing that they seemed to have that seemed to look good to me, and again, I'm on the outside looking in, was it was everybody mixed together. It was everybody was mixed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the whole congregation, everybody was mixed, and everybody seemed to get along fine. As a matter of fact, there was a interracial couple there, which brings up another point about what happened with the Christian church. You know, we were talking about was it inherently racist. In the Christian churches, even some of the Christian schools, they didn't allow blacks and whites to date or be married. Did you know that?
Yeah. They resisted interracial marriage.
Yes.
Yep.
For 19 years.
And using the claim that that's what the Bible said. And even today, I mean, I'm dumbfounded when I see, like, you know, pastors still like expounding this. I'm like, are you serious? And you just like, whoa, right? I mean, that's really my only response. It's like, wow, you know, and so. It's challenging, right? But I think you said it right. I think you said the issue is not the church in the institution; it's the people. And what the people have to do is stop seeing all this cultural stuff that's kind of shaped my perspective. I need to abandon that and see people as Christ sees people, right? See people as God sees people, right? And that's on both sides. That's just not, you know, white America, that's black America, that's Hispanic America, that's Asian America. See people how God sees people. And then when we can do that, when we can take that perspective on life, then we can just start operating in the capacity that we want, right? Because, one of the things I do have to say is that some of those Christians who – When they do have a perspective and they see the hurt and pain in someone's life, they are quick to reach out. They are quick to help. But unfortunately, sometimes that perspective has that cultural influence. And instead of seeing a man unjustly beaten by five cops while he's handcuffed, I see somebody who shouldn't put themselves in that situation and he just should have sat still, right? You know, so when the perspective is in line, I will say that, yes, the Christian church does a great job, but unfortunately that perspective isn't always in line. And that's the struggle that we go through right now.
I think it's tough. I think it is a struggle. I think on both sides. I think, and again, I look in the mirror, I look at myself, and I think that sometimes I look at some of the larger churches and I see they're predominantly other than black. I honestly, part of me says this may not be a good experience. Sometimes it says it'll be a great experience. I try to just be open-minded. And I will admit, I try to ignore in the moment anything that I feel is, anything that makes me feel like I'm being slighted. I try to ignore it in the moment. But I definitely believe, unfortunately, it's there. It's there. Ain't nothing I can do about it. It's there. And I just don't want to live in it. And I encourage, you know, everybody, you know, you see something, say something. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, you know. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be something that's so deep, holy, and profound. See something, say something. Sometimes saying something just simply means making that person feel more welcome. Watching what you say. Don't say something that's going to slight that person. Open up your own heart and eyes and your own mind to learn. And again, it goes for everybody because there's just so much about in our American history that doesn't look well. It doesn't look well for the Christian. I mean, I see why some people, I ain't even gonna tell you no story. I think about some people like, man, whatever. No, I can't do it. I can actually see it. I just don't want to fall victim to it, and I don't want them to stay victims of it. You know, and we all have to understand. And it ain't, you know, of course in America we always say the South, but it ain't just the South. It, you know, it's
no.
The North as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the North as well. So with that being said, I know we're about to close out here in just a couple of minutes, but I don't know, man. That's just been a burning question in my head. And I just, we never really talk about it, you know, because I think the more you know, the better you are. And my favorite thing to say to people is this right here, Jason. I love to say, when you know, you do.
Right.
So those people who come to
right.
you, those brothers and sisters that come to you and say, oh, I didn't know. You know, the end of your discussion should be, now that you know, what you going to do? Because when you know, you do. Mm. you can't tell me you know what 2 + 2 is. And you, every time I tell you, you give me 2 or something, you give me 5, then you don't know what 2 + 2 is. Right?
Right.
And so that's me. When you know, you do. And so that, and that's what I like to encourage people with. I like to encourage people with that right there, because it's a very simple thing, but it's not simple. In nature and everything about in this natural world, it's very easy to be friendly to one another. It's very easy to accept one another as we are. We don't care what race. Do you want to know who the least prejudiced people on this planet are? Some of them,
who's
anyway.
That?
Little kids.
Yep.
You don't believe me? You take all the different races and nationalities, just take about 10 of them, all of them different, put them on a playground together, and all of them like the same game. They're going to all play together.
Not even
going
to think,
I love that.
Not even going to think about it.
No.
Right, but I think
even if
I think with that, you just illustrated something. Racism is taught. Right?
All
right. You know, kids don't know the difference. All they know is, hey, you're fun to play with. I enjoy spending time with you. And the sad part is we want to say that teaching is only in our culture, but it's also in the church, you know. I want to go back to something you said, like how you approach things. I think one of the things that you don't understand is you operate with a sense of humility. You're able to admit, I've got this thought, and this thought's not right. Let me now intentionally work against that thought. Let me intentionally do something different. And it's that lack of humility in the church that allows this to continue. Instead of me saying that maybe that what I'm thinking is wrong, maybe that perspective is out of line, maybe I'm not right, I want to justify myself. I want to keep standing on my platform. I want to be holier and righteous than the Tao, which is not, that's not even close to what Scripture says. But I continue to do it because I do not want to deal with that sense of humility so I can say, like, you know what, maybe I do need to look at myself and look at myself differently. So, you know, I don't want to gloss over that because I think too many times, you know, people don't operate with that sense of humility. They don't operate with that sense of, hey, you know what, maybe I need to check myself. And because we lack doing that, I think that's what puts us where we are, right? In the sense that we're still struggling with this thing, just like, you know, just like the rest of the world. And we shouldn't be, because we should be better than this, you know. But,
yeah.
I, you know, like I said, we just really need to operate with that sense of humility to say, like, you know what, maybe this is not the right way to do things. Maybe I do need to think about doing things differently, you know.
But, like, what would you do differently? You black.
I mean.
Somebody has made you feel a certain way. They slighted you. What would you do?
You know, I would first of all, open my mind. And like I said before, sometimes when I address it, I'm in my feelings and I'm doing this and my heart's not in the right spot. So the first thing I have to do is go to God first and say, okay, God, clean up my heart. You know, this situation has happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lean on you to say, what's the next step? And, you know, he may, and, you know, and I think when I humble myself to say, okay, I'm not going to move without you telling me how to move, God. I'm not going to take a step. He's going to tell me what to do. And he might, you know, he might say, you know what, Jason, let this one slide, right? You know, or you know, he might say, these are the words I want to give to him. And if I operate like that, if I operate with that type of humility, then you know, that's how we start making effective change, especially in the Christian community. Not so much like, oh, he did me wrong. How dare him do me like that, right? Not my sense of ego and pride, but my sense of, okay, God, I'm in this situation. I'm in this circumstance. What do you want me to do next, right? And you know, if we start to operate like that, I think we can get a lot more done and we can get a lot more accomplished.
I gotta agree, man. I tell you, I have to agree. I will tell you, man. I there was a book I mentioned it earlier. I think the book by W.E.B. Du Bois, Dark Water, Voices from Within the Veil. You're talking about what got me started on this. It's funny. Is for Christmas, a friend of mine gave me these three books, and you know, I've always kind of sort of been a student of Black history, but she gave me these three books, and she was like, yeah, I see that you like to read this kind of stuff, and man, one of them I ain't never heard of. It was the book is about these two African soldiers who were fighting in a civil war. They were fighting France, I believe, and they were it just kind of told their stories. One guy became famous and he was a great soldier at the end of the war. The other guy, check this out, he rebelled against the system. He saw it was racist. He saw the negativity and he wound up poor. And it's a true story, just a great book. It was just a great read, kind of hard to read because of it was translated from, I forget what language, but a great read. And when you got deep into it and it talked about where the two of them come from, their backgrounds, almost identical backgrounds, and both have experienced heavy, heavy discrimination. And then I read another book. Gosh, man, I can't even think of the name of them. I have to pull them up. These are books that I read. And just wonderful reason. But the reason I bring these books up is I find that reading books, understanding the struggle of even my ancestors, helps me to deal with the struggles that come my way. Bayard Rustin, talking about, again, some of the more famous civil rights activists like Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, there's a book on speeches. It was called The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin. Again, I read books like this just to develop my intellect because I'm not a genius. I'm not trying to go get a PhD, but it helps me as first a man open up and expand the way I think. I see what happened in the past. We don't want history to repeat itself. And a lot of people really need to get this. If you really and truly don't want history to repeat itself, then you have to learn that history. And the reason why we learn it is so that back in 1800, we went left. Well, this is 2022. We need to go right. You see what I'm saying? Or we need to keep going straight. Or instead of dumping these people off, we need to bring them on with us so we can have a stronger bond. And the more bodies we got to fight this, the better off we are. So it's important to learn history so we can rewrite it. In other words, write the future. We can change it, not rewrite the past, but change the future. And so that's why this has really been heavy on my mind. And I just want to try to encourage everybody, you know, pick up a book, read a book. You know, there's another book. I don't know who wrote it, but it was called Let Them Drown, the violence of othering in the warming world. You know, let's, and that's a pretty recent one. Let's, you know, pick up a book. Let's read something. Let's learn something, because when you know, you do. With that being said, Sister Kimmy, I appreciate you getting us ready. I just want to say to everybody, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. And you know what we say at this time, find something you love, chase it, embrace it, That is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric. Thank you. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
Love hurts with pain and actions committed. Pointed fingers, no names, so never say God did it. Jesus knows our tomorrow and how far we'll go. The flesh knows no names, speak through alter egos. Behind the enemy lies, with spies as we cry. Except that Jesus needs to come before bullets fly. 10 toes, feet, no sleep, nothing ahead of me. God knows me, holds me, let me see the pedigree. Gift us for a better me, put it together, see. Jesus carried the cross, left behind eternally. The blood works with my Savior, no sign waver. Demise with ties, compromise, golly behavior. Slow singing and flower bringing will not miss you. The enemy will hit you, kiss you, then give you a tissue. Tears with drowning and tears dead in heartbeat. Pardon my truth, this word's now, cause this part's deep. I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, if you love me. I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, because you love me.
I lied, I cheated, might even wrong my brethren. I repented, he forgave me the minute I let him in. Focus on the cross with social shots subliminal, chasing the anointing, and even pray for a criminal. One day I will learn the idea was quoted. Assumed to leave in rooms, the words that was noted. Back to the blood with whom I follow that led. Plant the blood of Christ in his head over hospital beds. The thread sold the scars, even in personal wars. Did I miss you, Lord? Before this here goes far, reaching Seattle, witch crockin', cooking the pot. Outside the real me, never shook in the spot. Forgive them, Father, know not what they do. Hold me accountable, please, I'll do the same for you. Chasing waterfalls, you see me splashing now, being broken. Don't let me crash and burn now, knowing then knowing.
I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, if you love me. I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, because you love me. Banish me up so I can do better. Reaching to the cross so we can live forever. Banish me up so I can do better. Reaching to the cross so we can live forever. Banish me up so I can do better. Reaching to the cross so we can live forever. Banish me up so I can do better. Reaching to the cross so we can live forever.
Fall, no pride, this is mandatory. In honesty, open pulpit, now who's there for me? Call my name and call me out. And all the syllables, my heart is in this here, and I'm still rocking with you. Knowledge is wrote by books without Elliot Ness. He bridged the gap in the spirit and soul, we can progress. Church is gone by the price F blood bought. Hold me down and pray for me so I won't be lost. Call me even though the four walls can't speak. Piercing darts in his heart, the small one that leaks. A servant's heart between believer and moments critical. Lift me up before the Lord so I can remain with you. I'm seeking conversation with the Lord and my brother. Interceding over tears that I can count for my mother. I am my brother's keeper, I got the cross straight up. Walking with the Jesus, the Holy Grail, now watch him wake up.
I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, if you love me. I see you say a prayer for me, and I see you who really cares for me, and I see you always be there for me, because you love me now, because you love me.
Can I go deeper, deeper? Can I go deeper, deeper? Can I go deeper, deeper? Can I go deeper,